the love of God. He's greater far than tongue open can ever tell. It goes beyond, it goes beyond the highest, highest star, and reaches to the lowest. Oh, God, give your head, bow down with care. Oh, God gave His Son, He gave His Son to win. Hallelujah. He's a rich child. He reconciled. Oh, let's sing together. Oh, love of God, how rich and sweet, so pure, how measureless and strong, and so, so strong, each of for me. Pass away, and earthly thrones, oh, they fall. When men who hear in this day, oh, they refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains. God's love so sure. Oh, shall still endure, it will endure. Oh, measureless and so, so strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and, oh, the saints and angels. Oh, love of God, oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless, oh, and so strong, each hour for ever in your saints and song. Could be with ink the ocean, or fill up the ocean and weather, or the skies or parchment, oh, and every earthquake, and every man ascribed by, oh, to run the love of God above, oh, above could drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, those stretched from sky to, oh, love of God, oh, love of God, our rich and so pure, our measureless, and so strong, each hour forevermore in you, the saints and angels all.
It's a great privilege to be here tonight.
Amen.
Let's straight away open our Bible to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 22. Thank you, bro. Open our Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 22.
Amen.
If you have your Bible ready with you, from verse 2 up to 8. Just we will read three places to allow you to be able to understand what you're going to speak tonight. Matthew chapter 22 from verse 2. It's Jesus speaking. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage of his son and set forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and the day will not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, and my ox and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servant and entreated them speechfully and slew them. But when the king heard, therefore, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. And said he to his servant, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden are not worthy. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, from verse 1 up to 7. And he began to speak unto them by parables. That was the Lord Jesus Christ continually. A certain man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged and placed for wine fat, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went unto a far country. And at this season, he sent the husbandman a servant, that he might receive from his husbandman of the fruit of the vineyard. And they caught him, and beat him, and set him empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and at him they cast a stone, and wounded him in head, and set him away, and shamefully handled it. And again he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. And having yet therefore one son, he well beloved, he sent him also last unto them, and saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir, come and let us kill him, and inheritance shall be ours. Matthew chapter 27, just three verses there. Then we will offer a word of prayer. Matthew 27, from 24 up to 26. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail, he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hand before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye not it? Then answered all the people, and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And then released Barnabas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Let's bow our head and offer a word of prayer. Dear God, once again we come humble before you tonight, Father, to thank you for the privilege that you have granted to us to be in thy house, Father. Sometimes we do not realize that it's a privilege. And that is an amazing grace, Father, because many are in the hospital, many are in bad condition, but you give us the full health, Father, that we should worship you, Father, and we should give praise and honor unto thee, Father. That why we lift up our voice unto thee and say, thank you, Jesus, for your glory. And I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love to us, for the life that continually you've given to us freely, Father. Father, we remember our sisters who are not feeling well, Sister Juliet, Father, that you should touch her, Father. You will delight to be all together in thy house and glorify thy name, Father. Somehow the devil has afflicted her body, Father, and we want to cast the devil out of her body in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. We have the authority above the name that was given on earth and in heaven and everywhere is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demon shall tremble, Father. And we believe that they are cast out now, Father. Let it be a testimony that the Lord has touched the place of worship will seek, Father. Father, we know that your word says everything that you ask in my name, it shall be given unto thee, Father. And we are not asking anything wrong. We are asking, Father, the work that you did 2,000 years in Calvary, Father. And your word says, by your stripe, we are healed. And by your stripe, Sister Juliet is healed, Father. We claim the healing of us again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless this meeting, Father. Let it not be in vain, Father. We invite you, Father, to be among us, Father. I believe that you were with us in the song of worship. You will be with us in the preaching of the word, Father. No man can preach thy word, Father, except you inside of a man. That's why I ask you to put me aside, Father. I'm just a man with unclean lips, Father. And I want you to anoint my lips, Father. The same way you did with Isaiah, Father, that something should come out of my mouth and should minister deeper inside of the heart of thy people. You know their heart, Father. I don't know nothing, Father. I'm just a man like my brethren and my sister, Father. And depending on thee, that's why I ask the Holy Spirit should come down, Father, and anoint us all, Father. That something special should be done in this place, Father. It's time when we come, we don't want to come, just meet with one another. We want to meet with thee, Father. And you always are faithful in your appointment. And we believe that you are with us tonight, Father. Father, once again, we want to remember our pastor and put them at thy hand, Father. As he traveled this morning, Father, to Czech Republic, Father, that be with him there. Bless him, Father. Bless the missionary work that is going to do there. Let your name be testify, Father. Let your name have glory, Father. Father, we want to remember also this Sunday service, Father. We commit all at thy hand, Father, that you shall lead us, Father, that you shall take control of everything, Father. If there's anything, Father, that will hinder your presence among us tonight, Father, we ask you, Father, please, that everything should be under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And when you look at from above, Father, you don't look at us in our own merit, but you look at through the innocent lamb that died for us, Father. Without that, Father, we are not worthy to stand before thee. We are worthy because the lamb was killed 2,000 years ago, Father. Bless us, Father. Bless everything that will be said, Father. If something that will be said that is contrary to thy word, let not enter to the heart of thy people, Father. Let only thy word, Father, enter inside of thy heart, Father. Bless us once again, and we command everything at thy hand in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You maybe have a seat. A bit nervous tonight, but I hope the Lord will take control of everything because it's something very good. It will help us. For some of us, it will be a revision. For the new people, it will be a great thing. Now, from where we read in the book of Matthew chapter 22, it's something very good. If I could give it a title, it's a wedding invitation overlooked. Now, from where we read, It's a parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave this parable. It's a very good parable. As we go, maybe by God's grace, we'll be able to finish on Sunday. You will understand it very clearly. It's a word of God himself in the human flesh. And speaking here, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. That's what his start is telling us. That the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who made a wedding supper for his son. And he sent the invitation to the people that the people should come to the wedding supper. Because everything was ready and he prepared everything. And the wedding was furnished with everything that was necessary for the wedding to be. And the prophets say, many times the natural typify the spiritual. For you to understand the spiritual things, you must understand the natural things first. And Jesus, when he gave this parable, that he want to bring the people to understanding of something. But many times when he give the parable, the disciple will come later and to know what is the meaning of the parable. Because it's a parable. Not everybody knows what is the meaning of the parable unless himself he revealed it to you. And we know that in our time, all the parables of the Bible was revealed. Everything that is in the Bible is revealed to you and I as the believer of the message of the hour. But the prophet here in the spoken word, I would like to start reading this quote for you. In the spoken word, is your life worthy of the gospel? It was preached in 1963, the 30th of July. And they say, now, Jesus here is saying, man has always tried to make excuse not to receive God's word of invitation. Thought it had been firmly proven to them. And that is the supper, his invitation. But man is constantly making excuses. Now Jesus, he is speaking of this king that he has spent a lot of his fortune to prepare the wedding for his son. That the people could come and rejoice together with them because his son is getting married. But the people overlook it. And the scripture tells us that they bring many excuses. Some of them, they say, we are busy of doing these things. We don't have time and to go to respond to the invitation. They make a lot of excuses because as the prophet said, people always make excuses when God's word is calling for the invitation. Because God is calling the people for a wedding supper. And we know that there will be a wedding supper. And God is calling his people to. And there was a category of the people that was Biden, a category of the people that was qualified for that wedding. And the same people rejected the invitation. Those are the people that was predestinated that they could be there. Because on the wedding, you will not invite everybody. There's some people, somehow, you will choose them because of maybe the long relationship, maybe the way you know them from the business, maybe because you work together with them. There's some reason you choose them that they should take a part of your wedding. But some people, you will not choose them because you will know in this life, we may know thousands of the people, but not all of them that will be able to call to the wedding. There's some of the people that we will select that they must come to the wedding. And in our mind, we find them to be worthy to participate to our wedding. Now, that's the same thing here. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about this king. And we know that is he is nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, that is speaking here in the parable. And he's saying he prepared everything and sent the invitation. And when the invitation went, people make excuse. They don't want it. They say, no, we are busy. We have many things to do. And this one say this. I have my ox. This one say, I'm just married. I need to take time with my wife. But the invitation was given unto them that they should have a part of that wedding. And it was special because the king, that the one who made it for his son. Imagine that the king made it or the queen made for her son, what will be kind of the wedding? Because I saw last time when the wedding was happening in England, people travel from different all around the world Some of them slept outside the whole night to see how the things will take place there. But imagine that kind of some of the people come. They didn't even have an invitation. But they came because there was a queen, a king's son, is getting married. Now the people come to see. There was a cameraman all around the world. Some of them were maybe unpaid, but they wanted just to see what was happening, how the things will happen. But this king here that you are speaking about it is the king of heaven and earth that is preparing a marriage for his son. Imagine that all this kingdom will pass away, but this kingdom is an eternal kingdom. And you're given an invitation. It's an eternal invitation that if you accept it, you are a privileged person. But the people overlooked at the invitation. They make excuses. They want to be busy about their business. They want to be busy about their things. They have no time to give it to this invitation, to the wedding. They have even no 5 minutes that they could accept to say, maybe I take the invitation, but to go tell you, master, I will be there for 5 minutes. They didn't even have 5 minutes. But they were number one in the list. That they are the people who supposed to be in the wedding. And we know this group of the people. They are Israel. It's not you like and I. And it shows straight in the scripture. You will see it. It's not you and I. This first category of the people. That were worthy for the wedding. That were supposed to come. And they responded to the wedding. They were Israel. It wasn't you and I. They were the one that were called to be the one that were Biden for the wedding supper. But they reject it now. And as the story continues, you will see it. He sent this invitation that himself sent the invitation that they should come for the feast. And the prophet say it's the feast of the Pentecost. It's the 50 that the jubilee that they should come to it. But they rejected it. As the scripture tells us very well here, in the book of Mark also, if you look there, we read the scripture. It tells us how God sent prophets and sent the people out to them that they should come to the wedding supper. He sent them prophet. He sent them John the Baptist. But what they did with him, they killed him. And he sent them many prophets and they make excuses. And the prophet said those excuses are the one who killed the prophets that he sent to them. Now they were biding to the wedding. But you and I were not biding to the wedding. But them were biding. They were find worthy. The first one in the list, it was them. That they should come to the wedding and feast with the king and with his son. But they rejected somehow. They rejected. They were not able. They didn't have time to come to the wedding supper. Maybe because they were busy, as the Bible says, with their business. But we look, they were busy with their creed. They were busy with their system of religion, Sadducees, and all these things. And to accept such an invitation, they be excommunicated from their congregation. And they find it's too much to pay the price to go to this man, that has a bad name, a bad reputation. And they miss everything. And the next thing you see, the scripture tells in verse 7, that now the king say, okay, he sent the murder and the kill and the destroy their city. And something to see there, that is not you and I. There it's Israel. Now that the scripture there is speaking about Israel. When the Lord come unto them, if you open your Bible as a background to the book of Daniel, then you will see Daniel chapter 9, and you will see exactly what we are talking there. Before we will get to where we want to get, he sent them the invitation, but they turned it down. And we see it even from Matthew chapter 27, verse 26, and compare to the scripture says in Mark. Let's go back first in Mark to lay a background there that you should understand. Mark chapter 12. That to show you the scripture, how it's laid there. It's very good the way it says it there. And having verse 6. And having yet therefore one son, and a well beloved, and he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. Now, his was the one son, and we know that is Christ, that is speaking about Christ. And say, God said that now, I send them the prophet. They didn't give respect to them. They didn't respond to them. Now, let me send my own son. Maybe they will give reverence unto him. But when the son come, they knew that this son is the heir of everything. Let us kill him. Then the inheritance will become ours. That's what the scripture says. And they knew what they were doing. Now, in the Matthew chapter 27, verse 26, what they say is that his blood should be upon us. And they say we must kill him. And they make their own choice. They say we don't want this son. He must die. We don't want him. That was speaking about Israel in this first part. They were speaking about Israel in the invitation because they were the one who was the first in the list. And the invitation, the wedding supper, supposed to be for them. But they reject now. And what they did, and they kill the Messiah. And the prophet, he says in the spoken word, let's read first Daniel chapter 9 and to show you, verse 26. And he says now, and after 62 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off. Now that the scripture, that we see the scripture being fulfilled now in Matthew chapter 27. The scripture here, Daniel is speaking about it. Now the scripture is being fulfilled here in Matthew 27. Because the Messiah must be cut off. Now we know that Jesus died at 3.5 years of his ministry. That the time he passed away at 33.5. And we know 3.5, which was his ministry. Now the scripture was fulfilled that when he sent his own son, and his own son was killed, and we see the scripture being fulfilled here, and we know that from 24 we want to read that when Gabriel came to Daniel and show him the sixth thing, if you read the message, the sixfold of Gabriel to Daniel, the prophet explained about them. And they are also clearly here in the Bible. We don't need to go through them. And show them how the things will happen until the end of everything. And we see some of the scripture now is being fulfilled here. And the prophet here in the spoken word, the 70 week of Daniel, he said, now remember, he was a cut off Messiah, the Jew. God ceased to deal with them. They did not go any further. They were scattered by the Roman Empire. And have you noticed of my chart? And you want to get this now and draw it. You notice here where I got the cross. That way they reject, but the time extended out just a little bit further on that. And why 30, 40, 60, 70, 40 years later, this Roman general destroyed Israel and scattered the people to all around the world. Now we see that the scripture now is fulfilled there. That's what happened when they come now. Because it says clearly in Matthew 22 that when they rejected the invitation, what come next? They destroyed their city. And the city Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman general Titus with all the army. They destroyed it. And it was completely destroyed. And nothing left there. Now the scripture being fulfilled. Because the first party of the people, the first class of the people, they send the invitation and they reject it. Once God send an invitation, if you reject it, there's no mess that left. It's the judgment that left. And the prophet tell us that what God send an invitation to the life of someone, even as individually, and God invite you, the Holy Spirit speaking unto your heart, and you reject it, there's nothing left but the judgment. Because these people, they were given a privilege to get the invitation, and God sent his servant that Israel should take it in consideration, that they could accept it, that this man is the scripture that must be fulfilled, that God promised to send us a Messiah. And you will see that many people, they witness and they saw that this man is nobody but the Messiah. Because the woman at the well, You know, John chapter 4. She was there with the Lord Jesus Christ. And she witnessed it. Said, my father told us, my great father, they told us that when the Messiah will come, he will be able to discern the truth of the heart. But she saw that this man is not just speaking his own word. There is something that is proven there, that him to be the Messiah. And Jesus said, I am the one who's speaking to you. Now, that man, Jesus, when he's speaking about the parable, he was speaking about himself. And the prophet said he was speaking direct to Israel, the people that was the first on the list, that were invited for the feast. And they rejected the invitation. And bring it down to our life, and bring it down to this generation, the age that we are living in. And the prophet said, God will never let and judge someone without first warning him or give the person a chance to send the invitation. God will not judge in that way. But these people, they find their own things, their own business was more important than the wedding supper. They find that it was more important for their business to be, they put the business number one than to respond to the invitation. You see that when you overlooked at the invitation, there's a consequence for it. When you overlook to it, when God is speaking to your heart and telling you of certain things, and you overlook it, and there's nothing that left but the judgment. Because God is not obligated to come to speak to you all the time. When he speaks to you once, it's better to respond. But they neglect it, they reject it. But that's nothing was left out to them but the judgment. And we see that the murder come and they destroy the city. And the murder always, it been the Roman. And we know that as we go, you will understand that what destroyed the religion system of our time, it's Roman. It's the same enemy of God. For the long time, it's the same enemy that destroyed also the religion system. And they come with their doctrine that is contrary to the word of God. And all the things that is not scriptural, it's them that bring them. Because they crucify Jesus in a natural form. And they crucify him in the form of the word too. And the story continues in the same way. And we saw even in Revelation. Let's read Revelation for you to understand. Even in Revelation chapter 12, you will see that it's the same thing that they did in the beginning. It's the same thing that's going on. Revelation chapter 12 from verse 2. And the prophet and the scripture says, now, and she being with a child crying, traveling in birth, and pent to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and the 7 crown upon his head. And the prophet tell us, who is that great dragon? In the spoken word, the first seal, the prophet say, listen what he say. Now, when Jesus was born, the red dragon in heaven stood at the woman and to devour her child as soon as it was born. It is right. Who was it? It tried to devour the child. And that was born. And the congregation say, Rome. Now we see that the same thing. That who destroyed there in the beginning, who destroyed the city, it was Rome. Who killed Jesus, it was Rome. Now everything shown perfectly there. And the way the things happen. And that is continually the enemy of God. Even as Brother Crosby show on Saturday, it's always Rome. The place where you find all the evil spirit, that where you find that even the priest himself, he'd be able to smoke and in the morning and lay hand on someone. That is shame, that the system that is contrary to the word of God. But before they get there, God must have given them a chance. That they could repent, God must have spoken to them that something should be done, but they reject it. And once you reject the invitation, there's no mercy anymore. Because once the invitation is looked, there's nothing but judgment that left. And we see that the king, when he heard about it, and he sent the murder and the army, and they killed them all. A And there was nothing that left there. And we see that it's the same thing applied to our life. Once God visit you and God speak to you about your life and speak to you about his word that you reject it, then you have the mark of God. You have the mark of the devil. But if you accept it, you get the Holy Spirit. It's what the prophet said that Jesus, he was calling them to a feast. And you see in the spoken word, the same spoken word, is a new life word of the gospel. And he says now, the mark of the beast. What a thing. Why Christ give them the opportunity. Come to my feast. And the feast of the Pentecost, which means 50. That's what was Christ was calling them to. And it means 50 is a jubilee. Is what was calling Israel to come to a jubilee, that they should be made free from their system of Pharisees, of Credon, the Sadducean system, and all those religions that could not stand the test. He wanted to call them to the feast, that they could have a party of the wedding supper, but they could not accept it. He sent them a prophet. As the scripture says, they killed all those prophets. He sent them a prophet. They stoned them. He did everything that he could do. They stoned them. They killed them. Until when he sent his own son, and they could not accept that son. And now once they reject now, the prophet say, God can't deal with Israel the same time that is dealing with the Gentile. Now once they reject it now, God turn his salvation to you and to me. Because they reject it now, the scripture tells us, once they reject it, we will read in Matthew 20:22, that once they reject it now, and they say no, but the wedding must go on. The wedding must take place. We will not stop the wedding, because this class of the people, they didn't accept the invitation. And he sent his servant to the higher ways, and to everywhere, that go find the people, that they should fill the hall, that the wedding should have a place. That now, that the second part of the second group of the people is you and I. We were not the first there, but because they reject now, the wedding supper must be taken place. Now then the invitation come to you and I. And once the invitation is come to us, and if we reject it, the same thing that will happen on us. The same thing that what happened there, it will happen also in our life. Because once they reject it now, something serious took place inside of their life. The prophet, he says now, according to the book of Leviticus, he says, remember, in the same spoken word, in the book of Leviticus, he says, in the time that of old, Leviticus 25, you can read it from verse 10, we want to read it. And the prophet says, now we notice in the Old Testament, they had that they called it the Jubilee year. That was when all the people that was a slave could go free when the Jubilee sounded. And then if a man did not go out, if there was some excuse that he could give, that he did not want to return to his land, then he had to be marked in his ear. Now that the condition, that if the invitation is given unto you, the trumpet is sound on the day of the Jubilee, it means that you must be free. No matter who slave you were to. Even if you were the slave of Pharaoh, when the Jubilee year sound, you must go through. You must go free. Because everybody will respect it. Everybody will know that this trumpet that is sounding is not a man trumpet. It's God sound, a trumpet sounding. Now let me go free, because the Jubilee year happened. Now is my time to go free. Now the prophet said that the same time that Jesus came with the Jubilee year to the Hebrew children, that they should be made free from those systems, but they could not made free because they rejected it. They overlooked the invitation and they look at it. They say no. They found their things, their life, their business, their occupation, their beauty better than the invitation, than to go to respond to the wedding invitation. But when they reject it now, it's the judgment that falls upon them. Now, God is not obligated to continually persuade you or to persuade me. Once, if he speaks to you, is enough. He doesn't need to speak to the second time. But if he give you chance that he speak to you to the second time, it's better for you to respond. Because the prophet said, do not put it for tomorrow, because you don't know what will happen. But imagine if the invitation come and they say, okay, it's fine. Then you say, no, I'm not going. I'm too busy with my things. I know that genuine marriage will happen there, but me, I have nothing to do with it. I want to stay here and do my things. And the prophet said, what left is nothing but the judgment. And he continued and he says, now, if you refuse to go now, and we take you to the temple, and put you in the post of the temple, and they put a hole on your ear, and they put an earring there, what they put there is to show that this person was given chance to be free, but he refused, or she refused to be free. Now they put a mark on it. Now the prophet said, the things that happen in the natural, it happen also in the spiritual. In the same spoken word, he said, now, the same thing in the natural apply to the spiritual. That if we, as inheritors of the eternal life, and we hear the gospel, and know that is the truth, and we reject it, and refuse to do it or to listen to it, we take on the mark of the beast. Now, that's what happened. If it come to you, then you reject it. You take on the mark of the beast. And the prophet said the mark of the beast come on the earth at the same time that the Holy Spirit come on the earth. Because when the Holy Spirit come to seal the children of God, if you don't have the seal of God, you must have the mark of the beast. But now God was pleading with Israel and send them the prophet and send them the people to come and preach them the gospel and to tell them, and all them that they come, they even take the head of John the Baptist. And even his own son, they say, his blood must be upon our blood and upon our children. And they rejected the best occasion that they could have. And they remain in that condition. After a while, what we see, it was the destruction. The Romans come and destroy their city. And the prophets say, God has visited all the nations of this world. All the nations, there's no nation that God didn't visit. He visited them all. He visited Russia. He visited England. He visited France and all the nations, America. But the prophet said, look what happened when God visited them. When God invited them now to the feast, they rejected. What will happen next? There's nothing but the judgment upon them. And we can see the judgment striking the earth. The prophet said they will go worse because they rejected the invitation of God. God sent them an invitation. He said many years ago, before communists could come to Russia, God already visited them. The Holy Spirit fall there. God visited them to give them chance that they should be genuine Christian. But when they reject what come next now, the communists took over the control of the country. And there was no chance now for God to deal with them. Because once you reject it, it's the judgment come upon you. Once you reject God's visitation, because he may visit us once in our life, and God speak to you, and you can see that it is nothing, but it's God speaking unto me. But if you reject it, it's a judgment that will fall upon you. There's nobody will escape from it, because it's the principle of the word of God. God said, look at our country. The prophet said, look at our country, American. God has visited them. The Holy Spirit come upon them. But they reject it. They could not accept it. Why they went so worse the way they are today. And to all the world, why the things are happening in America? Why the things are happening here in Ireland, in England, all over the world? Why these things are happening on the earth? Because the people overlooked at the invitation. They reject it. They find that their political opinion is better than the word of God. They turn it down. The prophet said that what you can't see yourself. You can't ask why the moral of the people is so decayed. Why the people are in that condition? Because they will reject it, God's visitation. And God visited them that he could lead them. They don't want God to lead them. Israel, they remain in that condition. They don't want God to lead them. They say, no, we don't want him. We don't want this man to rule upon us. We want ourselves to rule our life. I don't want someone to tell me what to do. I want myself to be the boss of my life. This man came with another gospel. He preached us how we must forsake everything and follow him. This is a big gospel. We will not be able to follow this. This is too much. How can you tell us to separate ourselves from our tradition, from our culture, and come and follow him? This is too much for us. We can't take this. We must crucify him and accept this murder. That the murder they accepted, the prophet say, in our time what they did, they choose more than a murder. They choose a murder of the gospel. When God sent them the gospel, they could not accept it. But they choose Rome. When they choose Rome, the prophet said that why you could find it. The prophet said, he went to one place and find that the church were having a club of the football. That they have to go and to play the football. The young in the church go to play the football. And they find that the pastor there, at the place where they were playing the football, he was smoking a cigarette. And the prophet said the reason they went at that condition, because they rejected God's visitation. When God visited someone, you must take it precious. Because God is not obligated to visit you all the time. And we see that the Jubilee years always come after 50 years. Once it come now, and you reject that Jubilee, and you don't hold it in the position that you could be free, because there's nothing in your own that you can do to make yourself free. Unless you have enough results, or your kinsman has enough results to make you free. But he, God provided himself that you and I, we could be made free from the debt that you were not able to pay. And he provided his own son that he could make you and I free. That you should just accept it and you'll be made free. But if you reject it now, you will remain a slave the whole your life. The prophet said you can't sympathize with it. You can't say that, that is the truth. I listen about it. That is the truth. The prophet said you must put your hand on it. You must do something. And it must be applied inside of your life. You can't say like Pilate, say now, these things are good. This man is just. My wife has suffered a lot at night in dream. I can't find anything wrong with him. I have nothing to do with this man. I wash my hand. The prophet said it was a mistake. He could not wash his hand. He should accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he has something to do. But what do we do with it? We say, the message is good. But it's not for us. How many people were with the prophet? The businessman. They saw the prophet preaching the message of the hour. But what they say is they give the testimony. But the testimony they give, it will not do them any good things. Because they didn't accept it. Just giving the testimony is not enough. But accept it and apply inside of your life. And it become a part of your life that will do you good. But as long as you leave it there, that it's good. And you come a foolish people, say, there the people, they preach a good word of God. It will not do you any good. You must take it and apply it inside of your life. And it will bring a change inside of your life. And that one, you'll be sure that you have eternal life with you. Because you can be invited and be there and sit there. And the thing will pass you by. And you wish you could not know these things before. You say, how did I come in contact with these things? I wish I could not even be in touch of these things. But this thing become like a problem for me. I don't know how to reject it anymore. But the prophet said, these people, they were there and they sit there. And he says, now, when God sent the Holy Ghost and knocked at man's door, and he deliberately turned it down, sometime he's going to turn it for his last time. And then you want to be a privileged character. You can sit in the church and listen to the gospel and agree with the gospel. You might do so much as you says. I know it is right, but never put a finger on it and to help it yourself. See, you just listen to it because you says, I believe it's right. But that is just sympathize with it. It just sympathize with it. But you can't sympathize with the gospel. The prophet say you must put your finger on it and help yourself. And they say each time it's always that way. And in all age, the prophet say, if you look the history of the Bible, things always happen that way. He say in the time of Noah, it was the same thing. God sent Noah with a message and tell the people now that there will be, it's a great thing. The water will be up on the earth and the people must find a way to escape. And the way to escape, it wasn't provided by man. It was provided by God himself. And God sent Noah that he should prepare that way of escape. But the prophet said the invitation comes so simple that everybody overlooked at the invitation. Everybody turned it down. It just know it eight soul that was saved. And they say it's the same thing that will happen in our time. And it is not just say, Noah is a good man. He's building an ark. He say it's not enough. But you must accept it and enter into the ark. And you will be saved. But if you stay away from it and appreciate it, it will not do you any good things. And the prophet said, it will always work like this. At the same time when Moses came, when God sent Moses with the message, he said it was good to speak about it, to say that Moses came with the message. But now everybody must meet the requirement that Moses came with the message. If you did not meet the requirement, you will die in Egypt like all the Egyptians. Now the problem is not just to believe that Moses' message was the truth. Because even the children of Egypt were able to believe that the message was from God. They saw wonders. They saw miracles. And the last one, Pharaoh himself, were not able to stand anymore. Because they witnessed that these things is nothing but his God. How many times that Pharaoh refused to let the Hebrew children go? He refused completely. He said, I'm not letting you go. But at the last minute, when Moses said that all the firstborn, starting from the animal, in the land of Egypt will die. And they saw it. And they said, how long I will harden my heart in these things? This thing is just God. It has been proven so many times. Moses came with the serpent, with Aaron's rod, and they turned to a serpent. And the magician brings serpent. And the serpent of Moses slew all them. And all these things, they continue, the people see, they could witness, but there's something inside of the people that their heart can get so hard that even the gospel is demonstrated in a special way, they will not believe it at all. They will just keep rejecting it. Their eyes will be like someone who put the things in the ears. It's not there that even you preach in a special way, there will be no bell able to hear it. Why the prophet say? Because they rejected the Jubilee. You see, that is same thing. What someone reject the year of the Jubilee, there's no mercy left. What is left, it's judgment. But these people now, they were called to get out of Egypt. And if you find them, I mean, when they have to get out of Egypt, some of them has even to argue with Moses. Some of them like Dothan and Korah. When they come to argue like Moses and they want to see like, Moses, why just only you? But God only choose one major prophet at a time. He can't send two prophets at the same time. But what was their end? Their end was a disaster. The earth slowed them because they want now to fight with the message of Moses. Moses came with a message that was vindicated by God. Inside of them submitting themselves even to the message of Moses, they start fighting with it. And the prophet say, even you do not respect the man, but you respect his office. Even you are not even agree with the man, but agree with his office. Even they could not respect Moses, maybe they were elder than Moses, but they could look at Moses' office and give it respect that these things is come from God. It's not from a man. It's God that sent him. But people, each time when something, God sent something, even God show them, vindicate it, that is the genuine thing, the people will keep postponing. And when it's come to time to go to church, they will say, I'm too tired today. I better go to my bed and sleep. I will go to the next day. But the prophet said, you can't do it. With the things of God, you can't put it for tomorrow. Tomorrow, it might be later. That if you come tomorrow, there'll be nobody in the church. Everybody's raptured. What will you do? What will you say? And you are not in post of you post of duty. Because you put too much of you things ahead of God. It's the same thing that these people did. They have their genuine excuse that could make. Some of them say, I'm just married. I have an ox. I have to take care of it. But what, these things are better than the kingdom of God. Your job and your life is not better than the things of God. Things of God should be first. That's what it shows, how respected you have toward the things of God. You can't do the things of God just when you fail to do it. No, the things of God must be number one inside of our list. The kingdom of God should be number one. Because the invitation that they were given is for the eternal life. Not for the things that will pass one day. Because everything of this world will pass away. The beauty will fade. The work will finish. Even the work is not finished, the company will close down. Even they don't lay you off, somehow you will leave the work. Now, these things are not things that is supposed to be number one inside of our life. Number one should be the things of God. Now, there, that's where the things now Jesus was showing there. The parable was there clearly and speaking to the Hebrew children, but is applying also to our time because the scripture is always in the present tense. Because Jesus, when he met Moses, his name was I Am. It's always in the present. Now, when we read this scripture, it will be good when we read the story and put them to Hebrew children. But this scripture is better sometime when you read them and bring it closer home and bring it to our own life and see what will be our reaction if we were at that time. We should put our job number one than to go and respond to the invitation of the wedding supper. Because that was the invitation. He said, that's come now. Everything is prepared. And the king has spent a fortune. Imagine what God did by sending his begotten son. That's for you and I. It's more than a fortune. That's what more God could do. The prophet said the best the heaven could give, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. That to come and give his life, his precious life, his sinless life for you and for me. And now when it comes to the things of God, we just take it with light value. We just take it like, I can do it when I want to do it. I can do it when I feel to do it. It should not be like that for the things of God. And we see what they happen. The people now, because of the man opinion, the man made religion, the people will prefer to respect the opinion of the people better than the opinion of the word of God. They will respect the creed, the Roman creed, better than the word of God. You will show the people the things from the scripture. The prophet, how many times he used to preach about this thing to show how the woman is not allowed to preach through the scripture. And you could quote from the scripture, show them what Paul says, but they will still reject it. Because they have that strong desire inside of their heart. But the scripture says that a woman can't be a minister of the gospel. No matter what the scripture will say. Because they reject their day of visitation. They reject their jubilee. They get a mark upon them. And they will never be redeemable. They will never be able to change their position. Now because they pass now the line of demarcation. They already crossed that line between judgment and the mercy. Now they are in the side of the judgment. You are not able to change them anymore. Because the scripture says in Leviticus, once someone is putting something on the ears, that the person could not be redeemable anymore. No matter how many years of the jubilee will come, the person will not go free. The person will not go free according to the scripture. Now that's the way it is now. That the Lord Jesus Christ come, his begotten son, and to persuade Israel himself, to show them the way that God wants to lead them. For the way he led you from Egypt, and the way he led you through the prophets, now God made mad is now to lead you. But they were not able to be led. Why? They were so busy of their tradition. They were so busy of their religion. They are so busy in their things. They say, no, this man has a bad bet. It's scary that to go and follow this man. How can we follow this man? The history of this man is not a good history. The mother has a child without being in touch with the husband. It's not a right way. The mother, maybe she committed adultery. That's why she have the child. The child, the father is unknown. How can you go and follow this man? But Jesus, he said, if you do not believe me, believe even my work. Because the work that I do, it come from my father. Now he proved unto them that the work that he was doing, he come from the father. But still they could not believe it. And I can tell you that the message of the hour is the same thing. It's proven that it's not coming from a man, it's coming from God himself. And we can put it through the Bible. And you will see that everything we preach it in the Bible. We don't preach things that come from man or come from a certain organization. We preach things that God revealed to his prophet. Not a man, a group of the people. They come together like the Jehovah Witness. They say, no, let's make our own Bible. Let's make our own doctrine that we're going to preach to the people. And we take some scripture out of the Bible, such as John chapter 1. They will change the content of the scripture and they put their own to suit their own understanding. But the message of the hour, no matter which Bible you take, we will be able to show you from the Bible that the message is there. And God vindicated it. And the pillar of fire come down and thousand of time. Last time I was listening to the message. Now listening to the message, the prophet called it the identification. And at the last, at the prayer line, when the prophet discerned the thought of the heart of the people that was there, it was amazing. He said, you didn't come here for yourself. You come here for your daughter. She has a problem. That's where you come here. If I can see where you come from a such place. And he started to give the address, the exact place and the name of the person that came in the meeting. And these things is not to worship a man. It to show the people that these things, the message of the hour, it has a lot of importance in our life, in your life and my life. Because it's the invitation to the wedding supper. It's the invitation to the wedding supper. If you accept the invitation to the wedding supper, then you will go. And this wedding supper, the prophet said, it's the eternal life. Jesus presented them. When he was there, God made man, presented them and give them the invitation. The prophet said he was speaking direct at the people that were bidden to come to the wedding. The people that were worthy, the first class, but they rejected. When they reject it now, what come after they reject? The destruction come upon them. The Roman army, the Titus, the general, and they come and they destroy them. And they were scattered all over the world. Everywhere you will find the Jew, everywhere. Why? Because they reject their invitation. Now we see that it worked the same. God doesn't change his mind. If you reject the invitation of God, it's the judgment that remains in your life. And the prophet said, this world is doomed. America and this world is doomed. And we can see the judgment upon the earth. And say the prophet say, everything is rotten. The economic system is rotten. There's nothing that I can stand. This one, we can't even talk because the newspaper is talked about it every day. You and I, we can't even say that the economic system of this world is rotten. No, the newspaper, the hidden themselves, they are telling us. It's not the prophet telling us anymore. It's the newspaper everywhere. Every day where you read the newspaper, I tell you things are not better. Everywhere you read, things never get better. The system is completely gone. The prophet said the religion system is completely rotten. You and I, we are witness of it. The religion system is completely rotten. Tell me what church can stand apart from the message of the hour. The religion system is completely rotten. They introduce man-made doctrine inside of the church. They allow gay priests. They allow a woman to be minister. And all these things, women come with the trouser inside of the church, in the house of God. And all these things that they allow, it's rotten. It never originated from the Bible. He showed you that all the system now. Why the system is rotten? Because they reject God's visitation. They reject the invitation of God to come to the wedding supper. They reject it. But nothing that left upon them is a judgment. To find the people going to church, like going to a pub, going with the makeup. And the prophet said that the makeup, you don't put it to meet with God. You put the makeup to meet with man. And it's proven in the Bible. When Jezebel put the makeup, it wasn't to meet with God. It was to meet with man. And you see that the women are doing them, going with makeup to church. And inside of they are like at the wrong place. They don't know. Even the pastor doesn't know even what to preach. And they can't even a single time preach on it. Because what they want? They want their pocket. They did not want Jesus inside of their pulpit. They don't want Jesus to come and take control of it. The same way they rejected Jesus at that time is the same way they're rejecting Jesus in the form of the word. There's no different. It's exactly the same way. They didn't want Jesus to enter their synagogue and to preach there. They said, this man is a Beelzebub. But the same thing now in this time, they are doing the same. You can't enter the message of the hour inside of their pulpit. Because the message will cut or will change completely their way of preaching. Their way of preaching. You see the way they do things, the way the preacher preach their things. What today is so much about money and all these things. Why? To get the people, that to get the attention of the people, that they can lead the people away to the mark of the beast. Because once you reject the mark of God, which is the Holy Spirit, you get the mark of the beast. Now, how did you reject it? When you reject the God invitation, and God has one invitation. It can't be two invitations. It's one invitation, which is the message of the hour, calling the people to the wedding supper. There's no another invitation. It can't be two of them that will call the people to the wedding supper. The invitation might issue by the king himself, and the king will make his signature there and show that this is the king inviting you. But now, if it becomes two different opinions, one of them is not of the king, one of them must be a fake, and one must be genuine. And now, how you will know that this one is genuine? When you can bring it back to the Bible, and the Bible will back up it, you will know that this is nothing but the genuine invitation. That the way you and I are standing. But the prophet said the system is so rotten that there's nothing that can stand. And they have a plenty excuse to make. Some of the kind of the excuse. It's too hot. I'm tired. I will tomorrow. I'm not going there today. You see, that the excuse that they will make. You see, it's the same things that are happening today. That the people still making excuse for the invitation of God. When the word of God will come and cut completely certain things, the people still push it and say, doesn't matter. God look at the heart. No. The heart, it tells you exactly. The outside is what is inside of the heart. You can't be right inside of the heart and the outside you put the trouser. No, it can't happen that way. It comes from the inside. The inside, that is what you show what is outside is. Otherwise, we will not know who God is except he manifests himself. When God manifests himself, when the scripture says that God is like the sun who come to give life to the tree, to give life to the seed, to the wheat and everything. It's the same way as God. When God come as a son, he come to do what? To give you life and to give me life. And we know who God is. When God give his own begotten son, that you and I should have life. Not for the good of God. It's for you good and my good. And if that is your nature, it must be manifested. And it must be shown that that what is there. And we see that he sent them the invitation and they rejected the invitation. After rejecting the invitation, there's nothing that was left out to them but just the destruction. Because there's nothing left. If you reject it, it's the judgment that will follow upon you. No matter how you can say about it, no matter how you can quote it, you can't sympathize with it. The prophet said you must put your finger on it. You must accept it. It must do its full work inside of your life. Not just joining a group of the people, no. It must do something inside of your life. And that thing must be visible. Because just joining the group of the people, it will not save you at all. It will not save you at all. It will not save you at all. Some people come to the meeting of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we know even the story of the young rich ruler. He came and running. And he knew that these things are the truth. As you believe these things, you have to walk along with it. Not just stay in a level, say, no, I believe the message. It's okay, no. You get the invitation. But you must go to the wedding supper. You must go and enter to the wedding supper. Because once this first class of the people, they reject it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Once they reject it, we stop it at 8. Once they reject it now, verse 9. Now, go ye therefore unto the higher ways, and as many as you shall find, bide to the marriage. So those servants went out unto the higher ways, and they gathered together all as many as they find, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Now, because the wedding must take place, if the first people that was on the list, they reject it, and God can't stop his plan, the wedding must take place now. Now, bad and good, everybody that you will find, he sent his servant, come with them to the wedding supper. That's what he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and take us. That we that were bad and evil, he provide a way that will be made good at his sight by sending his son. That you and I accept the Lord Jesus Christ now. We are qualified. But we accept the invitation. We are qualified now for the wedding supper. But at the beginning, we're not qualified. But the first class, they reject it. They think that their things are more important. Because even Jesus said that the prostitute will go ahead of you in the kingdom of God. What he was speaking to? He was speaking to a religion people. The people who knew the scripture. The people who could read them. The doctors of the law of Moses. They knew the scripture well, well established in the scripture. But Jesus was telling them that even the prostitute will go ahead of you in the kingdom of God. What? Because it's not a matter of knowing the scripture. It's a matter of applying the scripture. That the scriptures will come part of your life. Not a matter of knowing the Bible. There's a lot of people know the Bible. Even many scriptures that we read here. The people know them, but they put them in the future. You read the people, the scripture, they say, ah, my friend, I wonder if this is the truth, it's the Bible. When this scripture of Revelation 10 will be fulfilled, the people will keep putting it in the future. But it's already been fulfilled. You and I know that the scripture was fulfilled. And all the scripture must be fulfilled. Now, it's not just knowing the scripture. It's that the scripture to take a place inside of your life. And the scripture should be able to change you. Because there's nobody who come. And everybody that come in the wedding supper, we will see on Sunday, something special take a place inside of their life. Because there was even a process before they could enter inside of the wedding supper. Because once they receive the invitation, they have to go through a process that they get inside of the wedding supper. And once they are there inside, before they go eat, the king has to look around and see that everybody look the same. Then the supper can start. Now, if it's not the same, it's something wrong somehow. Now, we see that when he gave that invitation, it was a free invitation. It wasn't forced to the people that they should come by force. That's why the gospel is not forcing anybody. It's a believer or not, it's you that will accept. If you want to accept, it's okay. If you don't want to accept, now you must know one thing. That is judgment left on your side. It's not forcing. We don't preach the gospel to force the people. But we must present it the way it is to show the people that if you accept it, you get the mark of God. But if you do not accept it, you get the mark of the beast. It's not forcing. It's not making the people fear. No, we can't make the people fear because there's no need of it. The gospel speaks to himself. Now that we show just the scripture and the way the prophet says from even Leviticus, if you accept the year of Jubilee, you are made free. And you are not forced to accept it. You could say that I want to remain a slave. If you want to remain the slave of this world, it's your choice. But these people, they are already tired. They say, no, I'm tired of the condition of this life. I'm tired of the life of a liar. I'm tired of the life of all these evil things, you know. Now the year of Jubilee is come. This is my chance. I must be made free. And you will be made free. But if you are not tired of that condition, even the trumpet is sounding, some people will be rejoicing. My day is come. Now I am free. But some of them will say, no, I like this condition to be slave. But to be slave is not a condition that you like. Unfortunately, there's some people that like to be slave of the devil. For all their life, they like to be in that condition. Because the scripture says there in Leviticus, and it shows that no matter if the Jubilee year come, if you are not willing to go free, you will remain a slave. You will remain a slave because God doesn't force anybody. The gospel is preached is to make you free because that is the trumpet. The message is come to make you free from the system of this world, from the system of those religions that doesn't stand the test. But if you are willing, you'll be made free. But if you don't want, even the angel will come to preach it, you will not change at all. You will not change at all. Because when Abraham was speaking at that young rich ruler, what he says? I say, send some of the people to preach my brethren. Abraham said, they have more people than what they need. You don't need someone to come from this side to go to preach them. There God has given them ministers. You don't need an angel to come and preach them the gospel. Because that's the order that God has established, that the living must preach the living. Not the angel that will come and go preach them. Even if we send someone from here, they will not believe. You see that the things is given free there. But because the person are so happy in that condition, they cannot made free. They cannot made free. It will not change some. The gospel can only change someone that is willing to be changed. If you are willing to be changed, it will not change. You will be changed. But if you are not willing to change, it will not change you at all. Because the invitation was there. And it's given unto them all that they come. But it didn't force them. If they are willing to come. But if they are not willing to come, what left is judgment. And the prophet, when Noah came with the message, it's the same thing that happened. When he preached his message, he didn't force the people to come to the ark. He just preached them the message and showed them that God will destroy this world with water. The people say there's no sign of water. Everything is clear there. The sky are clear. There's no sign of water. But Noah knew that God has spoken. He must fulfill his word. But the people, when they look at it, they overlook it. They say, this man Noah, he must go crazy. You know, something wrong. How can he preach these things? Now the science is proving that everything is in order. How can he preach about these things? The people are showing us in the newspaper that the things will get better one day. How can he say that everything is rotten? But it's not me saying, it's the prophet of God saying that everything is rotten, it's rotten. When he said the political system is rotten, the economic system is rotten, I believe that is rotten. Because it's the prophet of God that says, it's not me that says. The religion system is rotten, and we say amen to it, that is rotten. There's nothing to argue with it. Now Noah, he has faith, and he believed the word of God. Because he has that revelation. He knew that when God speaks something, that thing must happen. No matter how the people we try to say, everything will be perfect. God, do you think God, if God is love, will kill everybody? No. God is love. God also has a part of the judgment that he must judge the people. Because being God, he must be just. He can't just keep telling the people his word. And you can't change and expect God to be good with you, no. You must do something. Because he presented them a mercy force. Noah, as a prophet, he was a mercy to the people. He was the grace to the people. And he came with the message and told them that this world will be destroyed. And the people says, no, we have another preacher. They tell us good thing too, that God is love. God will not destroy everything. But God says he will destroy it. He will destroy it. No matter how another people will come with another prophecy, if God says that he's going to destroy it, he will destroy it surely. Because God tells the prophet that this world is doomed. There's nothing that's standing anymore. That God will destroy this world. It must be destroyed. No matter how we try to make it, no matter how many motorway they will build, and in our eyes we can look, Dublin, they changed it, you know. They have fixed the M50, a lot of all these things they are making. If it's condemned by good, it's condemned by God. It's doom. No matter what they are doing, just a man that is doing. That man, that devil want to attract your attention now to show you that, don't think about the kingdom that you never saw before. This kingdom are nice, man. You can drive nice with your nice car. You can feel it driving in these motorways. That to keep you busy, that you could not see the things of God. But now I come with a message. You say, now something is fixing to happen, people. Come to the ark. Come to the ark. He pleaded with the people. But he could not force them. The people didn't willing to come to the ark. What remained for them? Just a destruction. When they see now that the rain started falling, and the second day they say, Noah, please open for us. No, I say, it's not me that opened the door. It's not me that closed it. It's God. I have no power to do it anymore. You see, but they were given chance that they could accept these things, and they could come free without money and without price. That they were invited to come there. That they have nothing to play in party there. That they could do something, you know. Everything was furnished by God himself. That this is the way you get there. This is my way. If you accept it, you go there and live eternal. But they reject it. Just a few people. Imagine that the world in that time, according to Genesis, let's say the world was multiplied. There was a full lot of people upon the face of the earth. That the scripture says in Genesis 6, that a full people were there. And the people start building. And the people start building and lot of people over the face of the earth. And the prophet say, it's the same time that you are living now. Now, you can't tell me there's no city what they can't build. Even in Congo, Kinshasa, they are building. Everywhere, just building, building. You see that the building also is the sign of the end time. And even here, they are building motorway houses. They say there's a crisis, but they are building everywhere. They are building roads and everything. It shows you that something must happen. Because Jesus even himself says that the things that happened in the time of Noah must happen in our time too. And we see that for the first time, the science says that it was 7 billion people in the world. The baby one, that the one who reached the 7 billion people, it was from Philippines, something like that. And we see that the people is full. And they are even worrying if the people will continue coming to the earth, something serious will happen. But that one is more than what they think. Because God say he's going to destroy it. He will destroy it. But before he could destroy it, he give a mercy to the people. Now you and I as the message believer, and each time of our life, we must make sure that we took the invitation serious. Not just take it, but apply it inside of our life. And that things, if it have impact inside of our life, no matter what is coming, it will not fall upon us. Because we are secure already. We have the way of escape. Now, it's better to get the way of escape, but we can't find it ourselves. God has already provided a way for us to escape. Now, we see, as we see, we will finish it on Sunday. Let's stand and sing a few songs, then we'll pray.
Oh,
Just lift up your hand to the Lord. Dear God of heaven and the earth, God of the universe, we thank you tonight, Father. We thank you for your presence among us tonight, Father. Father, we want to give glory and the honor unto thy name, Father, because you are faithful to thy appointment, Father. As the song says, do not pass me by. Why you are visiting other people, Father, visit each of us tonight, Father. That will be our desire, that when we leave this place, Father, that we will see that the Lord was speaking to my heart, Father. That this thing that was spoken, Father, should be ministered deeper inside of each of us' heart, Father, and should kick in our heart, Father, and should make us a better people, Father. Father, we know that your word come like the rain that come, Father, and we know to return void without accomplishing the purpose by which you send it, Father. And somehow we believe that we are touching the heart of someone, Father. We can't see one another, Father, but you can see us, Father. You know the need of you people, Father. And each time when you speak, is to serve our need, Father. And we believe that our needs are met tonight, Father. We want to thank you for this moment. as we want to depart from this place, we want to depart with thee, Father. That you should help us, Father, to meditate upon thy word, Father. That this word should come flesh in each of us' life, Father. Father, we are human, Father, but the desire inside of our heart is to be more like Jesus, Father. And help us, Father, that on earth we should be like thee, Father. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was the model that was set before us that we should be like, Father. Sometimes, Father, people of the world, they desire to be like the pop star, Father. But we have chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as our model, Father. We want to be like thee, but in our own, we can't do it, Father. But we know your word says that you the one who begin the work, you are more than able to make it at the end, Father. And we believe that you the one who begin the work inside of each of us' life, Father. All the souls that are present in this place, Father, we ask a special blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we want you to be with us in Sunday service, Father. That you should meet to our need, Father. If there is any spoken request, grant it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you say someone seek you, Father, just grant the healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want again to remember our sister Juliet, Father, that you should touch her, Father, that you should grant her the healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. And all other brothers, Father, Brother Jose, we want to bring him at thy hand, Father. That you should touch him, Father. That you should heal him, Father. That let it be a testimony that someone prayed for me and the Lord answered it, Father. Amen. And also we want to remember Sister Charlotte, Father, that you should touch her, Father. You should give her a quick recovery, Father. That we will be glad to see her once again in thy house with her family, Father. And the glory honor will be given unto thee, Father. Undertake for her life and for the life of the husband, Father. And all others, brother and sister, who are not able to make it tonight, you know the reason that they are not here tonight. Some are busy at work, Father. Can't you bless them where they are, Father? Some because different reason, Father. If there's not a genuine reason, Father, we can ask you, Father, that let them not be comfortable where they are, Father. Make them uncomfortable, that we should see them in thy house once again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as we depart, we want to depart with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you should lead us the same way you bring us here, bring us each of us a safe home, Father. Until we meet again on Sunday, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May I dismiss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Say